Hey, everybody. Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com. How are you? I apologize. I am 14 minutes late for the big show today. We're already getting phone calls. Where is Mike? Well, here I am. Had a heck of a morning here. Went out and grabbed some coffee and stopped to find out if anybody had any hand sanitizer. Nobody does. Good news. That's the report in from Bridgeport. Nobody has hand sanitizer in Bridgeport. If everybody can hear me and everything sounds good, let me know. And if it doesn't sound good, then also let me know. But what a morning, huh? I just got stuck. We were on a conference call, had some good conference calls. Of course, I am the director. So here, wait, I should prop up my my thing. I'm Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and also the director of programming at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, which is going to be opening up very soon right there in the West Loop. I'm getting better at maneuvering things here on the left side of the screen. Going to be opening up very soon. So we had a couple of conference calls I had this morning. Very interesting, great stuff. And that stuff will be announced soon. Hopefully everybody's doing good. You know, I've been getting some great comments. Obviously, when this show finishes up with its live stream, it also goes out podcast wise. Right now it's on Chicago. What is it? The Chicago Audio Experience, Chicago Jazz Audio Experience. It's on there, Apple, you know, Google Play, all the different podcast places. But then also it goes on IGTV, Instagram TV. It also goes on chicagojazz.com. So we're pushing this out. Had a great conversation yesterday with a buddy of mine, Mike Steven, who is the host of Outside the Loop Radio. He's going to be on next Thursday, but I'm going to be on WGN Radio this Saturday morning at 6 a.m. It was recorded, though, so I won't be there. And he's not there either right now because of the situation we have going on. So I'm going to be on 6 a.m. Saturday morning, Outside the Loop Radio. We talked about the COVID-19 situation with musicians and the entertainment business. And to plug this show, which is great. So tune in Saturday morning at 6 a.m. And if you can't catch that, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. He's got all the episodes. And, of course, it's a great podcast as well. So that's going to be happening. Lots of other stuff going on in the world, but you know, the main thing is that everybody stay safe, everybody stay healthy. We've got masks here. Been going out to the store. So if you have masks, wear a mask. You know, it dawned on me yesterday when I was in the store, it actually is a good thing. If you have a mask on and you're wearing it, it's not only for your own safety, but you know, for the people that are there, the people that are stocking shelves, checking you out at the liquor store, grocery store, and everywhere else, with you not breathing on them, that helps them. You're helping yourself. So wear a mask. Only a couple more weeks, let's hope, before this tide starts turning and the weather gets warm and everybody can somewhat start to relax a little bit and potentially get back to normal. D-Case emailed us last week, just to reiterate, all of the festivals this summer are on hold until June 15th. So blues, gospel, house, that's all postponed, not canceled. So I heard from some people telling me, oh, it's been canceled. It's all postponed. So we're going to see what the game plan is going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't imagine we're going to have, you know, 300,000 people in Millennium Park hanging out in July. So we're going to have to see how this whole thing shakes out. But the main thing is you don't want to catch this. So everybody stay safe. I've heard from musicians in Chicago that have gotten it, and it is not fun. And also there's some friends of mine throughout the country that have gotten it. It is not fun. So you want to make sure you don't get it. So just stay home, stay safe. Now, while you're staying home and staying safe, of course, you're watching the Chicago Music Revealed show here on chicagojazz.com. But we're going to be moving over starting on Monday to Chicago Music Revealed Facebook page. More to come on that. Also, we're launching a website, Chicago Music Reveal. This is going to be an ongoing daily show here for the foreseeable future. I'm going to have on the show tomorrow, we've got a programming note too, and I'll put this up as well. 5 p.m. tomorrow. The show's being moved to 5 p.m. tomorrow because I have some conference calls I have to take care of. Still trying to do some business, still trying to do some things here, be productive. So we've got something happening tomorrow. So 5 p.m., but I'm going to have a vocalist from Brazil on Skype tomorrow. Guai is going to be on, And she's going to talk about the situation in Brazil, which is not as good as it is here in the U.S., if you can believe that. So that's going to be interesting to hear her take. And then on Friday, everybody's favorite, he's back, our West Coast correspondent, Craig Pilo. He's going to be on Friday morning at 11:30. Tune in. Call the kids. Call the grandparents. Craig Pilo is going to be on Friday morning at 11:30, 9:30 his time, so we'll see if he's having Bloody Marys or something else. He always is a good time. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring out, we've got two guests today. The first guest we're going to bring on, Sam Robinson. He is on the phone, and we are going to bring Sam up, and we're going to hope that we can bring Sam up so that Sam pops up. Sam, are you there?
I am there.
I'm putting up our sophisticated graphics as we speak. How are you?
All right. I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for the call. I'm looking forward to this.
No, I'm glad you could jump on. You and I have been talking about, I know we've been trying to get a review done for your release. You have a new release that just came out about a month or two ago, and Chicago Jazz Magazine was cranking along. We were going to schedule something, and then of course, this whole situation happened, so everything sort of went on hold, but I started the show, and I was like, wait a minute, let's catch back up with Sam, and luckily you bugged me through Messenger and reminded me, which was great, which is always a key thing, and here you are, so I'm glad we're talking.
Yeah, me too. My schedule has been cleared, at least for the foreseeable future, so I have some time.
just like a lot of people.
Just so, like a lot of us, yeah.
So why don't you tell it, let's talk a little bit. You know, you're a trumpeter. You play all over Chicago, obviously, but you've got a new release out. So what's the name of the release? And let's fill us in a little bit on what tunes are on there and what the concept behind the recording is.
Sure. So the CD is called Sweet Love of Mine. It's based off of the Woody Shaw standard. Mm-hmm. I think some people think Jackie McLean wrote it, but I've seen both. But you know, I'm a trumpet player, so I had to go with Woody Shaw. So that's the name of the album. Title track of the tune is the first tune, and this is a standards album. So the I guess the concept behind this album was just to kind of reflect what I've been doing. You know, ever since I moved to Illinois right before 2003, which is going to jam sessions and playing standards. Mm. And so this album is in one way or another a reflection of that. And there's six tunes on it. Got some great musicians with me on it. And I think it's a really solid standards album. And I've been just trying to make people aware of it ever since it came out. I think it was towards the end of November.
Oh wow, it's been that long. See, now I feel bad. We didn't review.
No,
just kidding.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I love the concept because you know you're right. I mean, a lot of people you know, they go to jam sessions and they play tunes and you know, it's a lot of the standards, but I always find it interesting, especially in this day and age. You know, when I came up and I came back from college mid-90s, I started sitting in. I mean, I literally had to learn like 500 or 600 tunes because the tunes I learned in college, you know, were great, but they weren't like the standards where you would play and you'd sit in and everybody would know the tunes, especially the older guys. And those are the tunes that you play on gigs that you actually like go and you know, you play at Andy's, you play at the Green Mill, you play wherever. And then it's interesting to me because you're younger than me. So what was your concepts behind like, not concepts, but I mean, did you make a concerted effort to start learning standards as you were coming up and memorizing them? Did you have a plan to learn how to record or learn tunes or what was that process like?
You know, I really didn't have a set plan to learn tunes. I pretty much learned by doing. I mean, I started kind of being introduced to jazz into middle school and high school, and they were just kind of presented to me. And, you know, I played them in big band and, you know, just like so many of us have done. And then through college, it was kind of the same thing. And then when I started going to jam sessions in Chicago, it was just kind of expected that people know a certain number of tunes, a certain set of tunes. So it's not like I went home every week and said, okay, this week I'm going to learn Body and Soul and now's the time.
Yeah.
You know, people would call the tune and I would have to play the tune. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how it happened. I just, I kind of learned by doing. So I know a whole lot of tunes very imperfectly because I just kind of, I know them from having played them, you know, when having to play them.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, because I mean, like when I came back, I mean, so what jam sessions did you go to? I'm always curious about that. What jam sessions did you go to?
Yeah. So let's see, I'm trying to think back to 2003. Well, the one I used to go to, consistently was the one at Andy's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I started, it was on a Sunday, but then it moved to a Monday night, and John Bainey, yep, was running it then. And, he was always great to me. He was always such a great mentor. And, you know, he would let me play, you know, for a lot of the session. And he would call tunes, and I either knew him or I didn't. And if I didn't, then I would either learn them right there or go home and learn them. I remember one tune in particular that John Bainey praised me for learning was Along Came Betty.
Mm-hmm.
The Benny Golson tune. I had never learned it before, and he said, all right, we're gonna play this. And ever since, you know, whenever he saw me, he would call that tune. He would just associate me with that tune. But I went to that one pretty consistently. I think that was back when the Velvet Lounge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, on South State Street, State and Cermak. I forget.
Yeah,
it
no, it was, yeah, it's Cermak. It was the old one was like on Cermak, and it was Indiana and Cermak or something. Because there's two of them, but the old one, and it was like a strange address because it was like there was a half in there.
There was a half in the number. It was something and a half.
Yeah.
So, God, and what a different scene that was, just the setup of the room and, you know, the musicians that you would run into. You know, there's so many different musical cliques all over Chicago. So, I remember going to that one back when I had my youth, the energy of my youth. I would do the one at the Green Mill that I think starts at about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't have the
you get out of there and the birds are chirping at you and the sun's coming
exactly,
up.
Exactly. It's time for breakfast. I was able to do that, you know, before having a family, but you know, now it's just, it's too much. So, I still plan on getting back there at some point, but yeah, so those are kind of my early memories of the jam session. And then later, I started, spending more time at Serbian Village.
Mm-hmm.
And that's come to be one of my favorite jam sessions. I mean, you know, I can't say enough great things about Tommy Muehlner, Phil Grateau, Kelly Sill. I mean, those guys have been just great to me and so welcoming. But I've also learned so much from all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one too. And, you know, it starts at a reasonable hour compared to the one at the Green Mill. So that's been a little more, accessible, but you know, all the sessions in Chicago, I love Norman's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Down in 43rd.
43rd and Ellis, I think.
Yep.
You know, Ernest Dawkins has been great to me too. He's another one of those mentors that, you know, basically either expects you to know the tune or learn it or, you know, sit down and wait until you do know it.
That's the one thing that with Chicago specifically, because, you know, I had those same experiences. But it's like the musicians that are playing at these jam sessions, the ones that you mentioned specifically.
Right.
I mean, these are like the top guys in the city.
That's it.
And when they're not playing a gig, they're running a jam session and they're actually giving you advice. If they think you're serious and they think you don't suck, they're giving you advice. If they're like, this guy, you know, forget it, then they're not going to tell you anything. But for the most part, they're very giving and they will tell you if you are not happening. That happened to me many a time. And John Bainey, by the way, I used to go on Mondays in the mid 90s when I first came back and sit in, because he would play Chuck Hedges' group from 5 to 8:30 and then from 9 to 1 with his band. But it wasn't a jam session, but it was the same band. So when I would walk in, Charlie Braum would look at me and wave at me, and I'd go sit in for an hour and a half because he wanted to take a break because he'd been playing for 4 hours at that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember Charlie. I love Charlie.
Oh, but I mean, being able to play. So you must have been playing with Art Davis on trumpet, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, give me a break, right? I mean,
give me a break. Yeah, I would go listen to Art Davis and take notes. I mean, you know, he's playing like 3 feet away from me. I'm like, oh my God, this is you know what I want to be like. So
well, and he's the nicest guy, and John Bainey and all those guys, the nicest guy, Don Stille on piano. I mean, those guys are so great. But you could ask them questions, and they would tell you, nah, you know, you don't need to do that. Nah, you know, you should check out this. You know, you should really listen to this guy, things like that. And that's something that I think people don't realize. I don't know. I mean, I know the Serbian Village, Kelly Sill will be more than happy to tell you, you know, who to go check out and listen to and stuff like that. But, you know, I think that a lot of other cities, New York included, I don't know how much feedback you're getting necessarily from the artists that are running the jam sessions. At least that's my experience. I mean, they'll be like, yeah, it's cool, you know, whatever, but you're not really connecting. But here in Chicago, it seems like there's a real good connection. So that's why I brought that up. Cause it sounds like you learn the same way I learned, by sitting in constantly and learning on the spot with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was really not that academic. It was, it was learn by doing, which I have found to be very valuable, you know, in the jazz world.
Well, I honestly, you know, when you come back from college, you go to college for music?
I went to college at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So for I did my undergrad there. And so then, after undergrad, I got a job out in LaGrange, Illinois, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, because when you came back from college, you start sitting in, it's a whole different way of playing when you're playing with professionals as opposed to playing in a combo at college or something, you know, in front, even doing a recital or something. It's totally different when you walk into the Green Mill at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a whole different vibe happening, man, you know.
Absolutely.
And all that. But that's how you learn. I think that's how you get seasoned. And that it allows you as a jazz musician to be able to step into any genre of music, but also any sort of situation, and just like, okay, this is no problem. I'm just going to play with these guys now. I'll feel my way around and figure the whole thing out. Right. I mean, you can't learn that stuff in college.
That's right. That's right. And once you go to a couple of these sessions, you know, it's a great way to meet people in other sessions, and you learn how to play with different types of players, which I've always thought is a really, you know, valuable experience. Try to play with all different kinds of players.
Yep. No, 100%. I mean, that's the whole key. So now, we talked before you came on. You've got the new album, which is out. So let's make sure everybody get all the plugs in again, so everybody knows where to go check this out, and how they can download it or pick it up, physical copy, probably at CD Baby or somewhere.
Yeah. It's on CD Baby. It's on Spotify. It's on all those sites. Or I got a few here. I can send them out to you if you want to contact me. As I said, it's a album of 6 standards. Got some great players on it. A wonderful tenor sax player named Scott Angst, who I actually met several years ago playing at the Gallery Cabaret. We did a gig. I think it was the first Monday of every month. Mm-hmm. And we met each other on that gig, and we just kind of really connected musically. And I didn't play with him for many years, but then when I decided I want to get a band together, I thought of him right away. Leonard Stroud, a wonderful drummer, been around for a while. I met him this is a great place to meet people at jam sessions. I met him at a jam session at Jimmy's Woodlawn Tap that happens on Sundays, mm-hmm. Where I also played with the guitar player on a couple of these tunes. His name is Gabriel Dotku, fabulous guitar player. I believe he was trained classically, so he really has his technical chops together, but he's also a wonderful jazz player. Mike Walters, great piano player, mm-hmm. who has run several jam sessions around Chicago and the Chicagoland area. He ran one at Tuscany, Jen's Guesthouse, the Irish Legend, and he kind of comes back and forth between here and Atlanta. And he also has several jobbing bands. So he's a fabulous musician. And then Nick Davis is the bass player on this album. Great young bass player. I think I either met him at Norman's Bistro or Jimmy's Woodlawn Tap. So
yeah, it's so all that's how you connect. It was like the perfect lead in. We discussed the jam sessions, and it sounds like that's how you met all the guys that are on the recording, man. That's incredible.
Exactly.
So now but you're actually in the process, and thanks to this forced time at home, shall we say. You're actually in the process of writing, and you're going to put out another recording sometime in 2020, 2020, probably in the fall or something like that, or maybe even 2021, but it's going to be original compositions.
That's correct. Yeah, that's the goal. This quarantine has given me the chance to kind of explore the art of original composition. So I'm trying to do that. I don't really have a lot of experience at that, but I'm giving it a shot. And some other members of the group have sent in some tunes too. So we'll see. You know, this first one was a standards album, but I would like to kind of move in the direction of writing original tunes. So we'll see how that goes after this craziness dies down a little bit, sooner rather than later, I hope.
Yeah,
you know, maybe I can get the guys back in the studio and we can work on another project.
Well, obviously you'll keep us posted, and we will make sure that we're dialed in a little sooner than 4 months later. But hey, 4 months is better than no months, right? So we're...
These are crazy times.
they are. So Sam, I really appreciate you being on, man. I hope you stay safe, you stay healthy. Obviously keep us posted on any recordings you have coming up. Now
I will,
before I let you jump off, are there any steadies when the clubs actually do open up? I mean, are there places where you regularly play that people should know about, or are you just kind of a hit or miss depending on what group you're playing with and where you're at?
Yeah, you know, it's hit or miss. It's nothing steady. You know, our group has played, you know, at places in the past like the Sidebar, in Berwyn, Eastgate in Oak Park.
Mm-hmm.
I've often played as, you know, the guest artist at Le Piano in Rogers Park. They're doing wonderful things.
Yep.
Chad Willits is another great, you know, promoter of the music. So places like that. And then, you know, the jam sessions, I still love going. It's always an education. So, you know, you'll find me at Hunter's in Elmwood Park on Wednesday, Serbian Village, Norman's, all those places, Irish Legends. You know, I'm sure I'm leaving something out, but it's an active scene, so I can't wait to get back to it.
Yeah, no, well, you and about 5,000 other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you being on. Congratulations on the new recording. We will make sure that we promote all that stuff, and we'll be linking things up in the descriptions where all the different places this show is going to be pushed out and posted. And stay safe, and we look forward to talking to you next time, Sam.
Thanks so much. I appreciate the time. Stay safe.
Definitely. Okay, thanks.
Take care.
All right, Sam Robinson. That, you know, that he's very interesting. I'm glad that he stayed on top of bugging me, because, you know, we got a little bogged down over here, and with the whole situation that's happening, for good reason. But I had him on mind, and it was good talking to him, because, you know, it kind of shows you that it's very important for musicians, and there's probably a lot of musicians that are listening right now that know this already, but also a lot of students and a lot of younger people. I always try to relate that to younger people too, is that getting out and doing jam sessions and learning tunes, not with your iPad, like learning the tunes, being able to play them in a bunch of different keys, no matter when, where, that is the key. And being able to play with all these different musicians, whether they're 70 years old, whether they're 15 years old, but be able to fit in and play with them and make it sound like you guys have been rehearsing, that's the key. And that's when you really start to feel like you're getting more and more experience happening. So I encourage everyone to get out and hit those jam sessions. We should have an updated list. Maybe we'll do that on the new website or on chicagojazz.com. No, the new website, because then it's going to be all genres. We'll put a list together. We'll put a list together on Chicago Music Revealed probably in a couple of weeks. The new website will be up on Monday. And we'll do a list of jam sessions. And as you guys get jam sessions, send them in, leave us comments, and we'll get them posted. All right, now we're going to bring in, and we're going to see if I can do this while I'm live on air here. I'm going to call up Stacy McMichael on Skype, and we're going to see if we can bring Stacy in on Skype. And she is going to be helping out all of the streaming things. All right, wait, let me see if I can do this. There you are. Are you there?
Hey.
Hey.
I am here.
All right, man. Look at this, man. See, I told you. Look at this, Stacy. I'm almost as good as you at setting up streaming stuff. Almost.
Oh, man. It has been a thing.
So you're Stacy McMichael, bassist extraordinaire. You and I have known each other for many years. We've played a lot of crazy gigs together. And you've also the founder and manager and CEO of La Percolatora, the famous gypsy jazz group. And you were actually at you'll tell me the theater, but you were in Chicago as part of that incredible show Six last summer. And you've also done some stints with them outside of the city as well. And you are also running the live stream for Jeannie Tanner and Abigail Rickards, the Desperate Times music series, which I always talk about. And that's going to be tonight. And there's another live stream happening thanks to you. So why don't you first, let's focus on the live stream that's happening tonight. Where can everybody get information about it? Where can they watch that?
Okay, so the live stream is called Desperate Measures, because that's where we are right now. And you can find it on Jeannie Tanner or Abigail Rickards' Facebook feeds, mine as well, if you want. But we have a great team, and from time to time, and play. And I've learned live streaming and video action
you've got 2 weeks ahead of me, because I learned this 2 weeks ago. So there you have it. But I mean, the live stream you're doing is pretty interesting, because it's two pianos, two vocalists, and you're kicking back and forth to different camera angles too now, right?
Now we are, yeah. We keep improving, you know, little by little, and we can actually get together. I think do multiple camera angles live, and we're going to see. I have big plans. I just have to make sure I can get the technology correct.
So how are you doing this? Are you at your house, and then they're recording, and then you're streaming? I mean, then you're pushing it out as part of a live stream, or how's it going?
When was it? It was right at around St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. I think we did our first one, and then we kind of figured everything was going to get locked down. So we just filmed as much as we could, And then we've been editing it. Now they're pre-records, but we have them together as well.
That's going to be difficult because of the delay. So that's why you've got this different software. And the software, I think, and you tell me, because you went to school actually for computers too. I mean, you went for programming.
For computers?
you went for programming, didn't you? What was the name?
Web design.
Web design.
Yeah.
You went to school,
for computers.
Computers.
I'm just like building them in the back. No big deal.
Come on, cut me some slack, man. I'm just a drummer here with a live stream show happening at my desk.
But you got multiple camera angles. We're doing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do actually. I could, but the other camera angle is just of me. So nobody wants to see two camera angles of Mike Jeffers. That's for sure. but anyways, the technology now, you know, the way I'm looking at it, and you tell me what you think, but I think, because of this, it's like the forced quarantine makes us be the forced technology, innovators here in order to get our music out there, or get our show out there, or get our news and information out there. So, I mean, I think that this time, because nobody can do any live performances, I think this is going to really actually help the creative process, and everybody's going to start to utilize this technology a lot differently than they have in the past, where they just hold up a cell phone at a gig at a bad camera angle and you kind of watch and it's okay. Now we're all figuring out how to do this on a little bit another level, which I think is going to actually help push the music out even farther and build musicians' audiences.
Well, yeah, because I mean, we have no choice. No one ain't no place to go for a gig. You're not going to catch me, not even like at the grocery stores. I can't even play Mariano's now, man. I mean, it's like we have to come up with something. And I think the new venue is just everybody's like what is it, maybe 20 inches away from their face.
Yeah,
and it kind of it changes things, because you can't rely on a barrier to the audience. You're just like you're there, like you right now. You're sitting in my living room. My dog is like kind of wondering what's going on. You know, that's the new normal, and we have to adapt and make it kind of entertaining and fun. But yeah, you're right. You can't have like the camera with some dude's head in between. That's not a live stream anymore.
No.
We're past that.
Well, I thought it was interesting too, because when you did the first one of Jeannie and Abby, You guys had thousands of views on there, man. I mean, it really came in. And then it also, the beauty of it, right, as opposed to like playing somewhere and then it goes away, this stays on Facebook, stays on Instagram, yeah, and keeps rolling along to, you know, keep it just keeps going. So, I mean, they do the concert and then it keeps going. People share it. And that's how you reach more and more audience members, I think. I mean, that this is going to change the whole way people can actually promote. I think that this is going to actually cause musicians to say, okay, wait a minute, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, I can't take that gig because I have my live stream concert that I'm doing. I mean, I think that's where we're going
to. You might want to calm down to that one a bit, but you know, yeah.
I think it's going to happen, man. I think it's going to happen.
But hey, I mean, we're it's a whole new world out there right now.
It is. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit about your background too, because you know, you and I met, I mean, years ago, playing bass. So you're playing jazz trios, jazz quartets, and all that stuff. But then you got into, I think there were a couple of founding members along with yourself of Le Percolateur, and then you took the reins and have really pushed that out there, the Gypsy Jazz Group, and you guys have performed all over the place. And how many years is it now with Le Percolateur?
I think February would have been 13.
Wow, really?
I think, yeah, I know. Okay, I kept a band together for 13 years. Can you believe that? But yeah, so February, I think, would have been 13.
So, I mean, talk a little bit about the Gypsy Jazz thing, because in Chicago, Gypsy Jazz, there's a few specific groups. We had James Sanders on a couple of days ago, and he did a live stream with Fume, Gypsy Jazz. And then obviously Alfonso Ponticelli, he's got the Green Mill gig happening on Wednesdays. But Le Percolateur also is like one of those known groups, draws a great crowd. It's fun. But what is it about Gypsy Jazz? Talk a little bit about the instrumentation, how that's a little bit different than like a regular jazz quartet. And talk about some of the influences that you had with Gypsy Jazz.
So the traditional Gypsy Jazz ensemble is two guitars, violin, bass, and it's pretty much the tradition is just a couple guitars, violin, and bass. You can add accordion, and occasionally there are drummers, and we have a vocalist. It's based off of 1940s Django Reinhardt in Paris. He's pretty much the luminary and Stefan Grappelli of the entire genre. And it's kind of fun because it's a steady beat. You can gypsify about any song at all. Cause you can pull from the standard jazz repertoire, the standard Gypsy Jazz repertoire. They were, the touring caravans, and it's why we have that song from Duke Ellington. Cause he met Django in New York, and that's how you got that. But yeah, so it's what we do in Le Percolateur is a little bit different. Cause I have a thing for pop music. So we will, I'll actually, our version of Caravan, if you pop over to YouTube, it's mixed with Beyonce, and yeah, that's what I do.
My
dog has decided he doesn't want to be just on the floor anymore.
I mean, you guys do mashups, man. You guys do all that stuff. I mean, it's great. But I remember when I was doing the Chicago Jazz Fest, when I had the live performance space at Chicago Jazz Fest for a couple of years, and the one year I had you guys play, I mean, we had like 500-600 people in front of the booth, man. It was insane. It was going crazy.
Yeah.
And it was for Gypsy Jazz, and it was like one of the first times a lot of those people had heard Gypsy Jazz, because I don't even think they had much of it on the Chicago Jazz Fest at that point. Mm-hmm. But you guys whipped everybody into a wild frenzy, man. It was like,
well, it's a pretty show. It's like a showpiece kind of jazz. Like, you know, I mean, there's like Marielle de Rocasero is the violinist at the time from Paris. And, you know, I mean, she can just play anything, and it's like, oh, spectacle. I'm going to stop and watch, because it's, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, but you guys always keep recreating stuff. You guys did something at Main Stage one time where you had jugglers, and you all sort of, I think you had a stilt walker. Was it a fire breather or something? I don't know what was going on.
No, they wouldn't allow fire. Oh. So we wanted fire, and then we wanted the silk dancers, you know, like the suspended Cirque du Soleil stuff. And they wouldn't allow that with their insurance. It's probably the right move, but you know.
I would imagine that's probably a good move, actually, now that you described it.
I was mad at the time, but now I'm like, okay, I get it.
Well, now, you know, I see Jeannie Tanner's listening, and she's going to be, obviously, you guys are doing the live stream tonight, Desperate Times. That's going to be on Facebook, on Jeannie's page, on Abigail Rickard's page, on your page. But do you think maybe in a couple of episodes, because it's in somebody's private home, you'll be able to have a fire breather? No, I'm just
Ooh. See? Okay, then.
See, I'm looking for ratings.
Yeah, I like where you're going with this.
I'm looking for ratings. But I don't want anybody breathing fire in my place, so it's better somewhere else. But I'll watch it.
We'll figure it out. Maybe we could just, go to main stage and see if they've relaxed their...
Nobody's there.
See, exactly. See? Perfect. So it's a hijack concert. It's Desperate Measures Hijack Edition.
So let's talk about Six, because you were in this hit musical that was in Chicago. You got on Six. How did that come about? So talk a little bit about the premise behind Six. You were there, man. This thing took off like gangbusters. Yeah. How long was that run in Chicago?
So first off, Six is the historical retelling of the six wives of Henry VIII. So he divorced, beheaded, it was a thing. So each one of them, it's like retold, like they all have their own like pop diva. Mm-hmm. So there's like a Beyonce, a Katy Perry, a Britney Spears. And we ran, I think we started April. It was the end of April, early May. And we ran all the way through through August here. And then it had to move. It went to Boston and Canada, mm-hmm. and St. Paul and then Broadway. And now there are a bunch of sixes around, but it was an amazing show. It was all female band, all female vocalists. It was great.
Who wrote that tune? Who wrote that musical originally? Who put that together?
It's a team of writers, Toby and Lucy from, and they have I think it was for the Fringe Fest was when it debuted. I don't know much about West End Broadway productions in London, but mm-hmm. it took off. I mean, it's wow.
Well, I think the music, the story first off, but the music involved in that whole thing too is incredible. And I mean, you've got some video up on your Facebook page and Instagram page and stuff of you in Chicago in it. And I mean, it's just like, it looks like electric the entire time, it's unbelievable.
Oh yeah. It was it's an 80 minute straight shot show. And I would just die at the end of it. I wore my, my heart rate one day, under my costume one day. And I was like, ooh, I burned like 700 and something calories per show. Yikes. And I'm just playing music.
Yeah. Right. Well, so and now it's not in Chicago, but you get calls every once in a while to go and you're subbing. You were in Miami, I think, right? Weren't you somewhere down in Florida, right?
Yeah. So they have it on the Norwegian cruise ship. And so the bass player so their training facility is in Tampa, and their bass player was quarantined, actually. And so they flew me down to do the last week of rehearsals before they pushed out on the ship. And that was the first week of March.
Oh, so they went out on the ship. I wonder if they got stuck out there.
They did. They just got home. Yeah. 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 I've never had a whole cruise ship to myself. I guess that would be kind of cool. But then, you kind of want to go home at some point.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's only so long you can have a cocktail on the Lido deck before you're just over it.
All right. So let's talk a little bit. What do you have happening now? Obviously, there's not much happening, but are you doing any teaching on live stream or anything like that? Where can people find out more about you? I mean, you've got the live stream, teaching, but also lapercolatour.com, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so stacybates.com, lapercolatour.com. You can find me. I don't know when we'll do anything next, but I'm working on the live stream, working on remote, trying to get rid of the lag, so we can maybe play together. We're kind of trying things out now to see what hits. Hopefully, when all this is done, you know, we'll go back to playing, you know, the Green Mill Andes, Untitled, you know, our regular spots. But right now we're just figuring stuff out.
That's all any of us can do, right? I mean, that's it.
I don't even know. Six is supposed to come back here, supposed to open in July. But I don't know.
You don't know.
You know, no one knows anything. So you can't even just be like, hey, what's going on with this gig? And they're like, yeah, we don't know either.
Well, that, you know, you and I have talked offline too, but it's like, you know, if we just knew, if somebody would say, hey, June 1st, everything's going to be great. That's great. Okay. Great.
What's, so yeah. I was like, I'm sorry. But... I think you want to speak to the manager. We have to do something.
Yeah. I mean,
the coronavirus manager.
Get him on the call. We'll bring him up. I got him on the show next week.
Oh,
all right, Stacy, thanks for jumping on. Of course, everybody can catch Desperate Measures tonight. No, wait, mm-hmm. What is it called? What's the deal?
It's Desperate Measures. It's Desperate Measures. We were brainstorming to come up with a name for it, and just kind of came out. I mean, the bars are closed. What are you going to do? That was our second choice, but you know, Desperate Measures more fun.
No, I think that's great. That's a great title. So what time is it? 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock Central. We'll push the pre-record out and you can hop on. And if you jump on, make sure you comment and do all this. Same thing with you guys. Yep. Like the sooner you guys get in, you like, you share, you comment, the more it pushes you up so more people can see. So, and make, you can make song requests for the next week. Cause you know, we're going to be at this for a minute.
Well, you know, and also they can tip, which is interesting too. That's another concept.
They can tip. Absolutely. They can. We're not going to kick a tip out of the room, but yeah, I mean, you've got Venmo, PayPal, yeah. Cash App, you know, all the things, all the electronic money can.
Can they send you a money order?
A money order. Ooh, nice. Do I get a cashier's check too? Oh, traveler's checks. Traveler's checks.
When I first started the magazine, somebody tried to pay for an ad with traveler's checks. I was like,
oh my.
I was like, what is this?
Wow. I mean, okay. Oh, and now my dog is getting really antsy now. He's so confused that I'm home all the time.
Yeah, right. You're home and you're talking into a camera and you're laughing and he's not hearing anybody talking back. So, all right, I'll let you take Kazoo for a walk outside. Thanks for being on. I appreciate it as usual, and we will stay in touch, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the show. Good luck with the stream tonight.
All right.
All right, Stacy McMichael. How about that, huh? Thanks to Stacy for being on the show. Let me see if I can shut that off. Okay, I think I got it. Well, we had a jam-packed show here, even though I got started a little bit late. Thanks to Sam Robinson for being on. Of course, his new release is available all over the place, Spotify, CD Baby, iTunes. So we're going to link all that stuff up in the description once we finish this up. And of course, thanks to Stacy McMichael and the live stream stuff. We always have a good time. She and I could sit and we could talk about a lot of crazy gigs we've played over the years. Maybe we'll do that sometime. You know, I can have up to 9 people on this software. That would be interesting. We could all talk about crazy gigs that we've all played over the years, even this year. We did play some gigs this year in January. Interesting. I know it just seems like a long time ago, but hey, what are you going to do? All right. So tomorrow, programming note, tomorrow we will be, what are we doing here? Oh, 5 o'clock PM tomorrow. We will be live because tomorrow at 11:30, I've got some stuff going on during the day. Still trying to get some things done. So that's what's happening. So Friday, geez, I'm backing up. I'm reading comments. I'm looking at everything. Let me back up a little bit. Tomorrow, 5 p.m., we're going to have Guy on from Brazil, and we're going to talk about the Brazilian situation with COVID-19. And also, she's a great vocalist down there. Listen to a lot of her music, so we're going to have her on. And then Friday at 11:30 p.m., we are going to have our West Coast correspondent, Craig Pilo is going to come on, and he is going to fill us in on the L.A. scene. Craig Pilo has been Frankie Valli's drummer for 15 years. He's a recording artist. He's played with Edgar Winter, played with a million other people. Good friend of mine. He always likes to come on. I'm sure he'll make fun of me a little bit. I'll make fun of him. It'll be a good Friday show, chilled back. So, you know, who knows what's going to be happening Friday at 11:30 p.m. our time, and Craig Pilo's time will be 9:30. So I don't know if he's going to have Bloody Marys or not, but we will see. And of course, everyone, hopefully this all ends soon. I hope everyone has a great day. Looks like it's going to be another nice day today. Stay inside. Stay away from people. Stay healthy. Hopefully I will see you somewhere out in the scene. But if not, please share this. Please like it. Tell a friend. Tell a neighbor. Call the grandkids. Tell everybody about this show. And hopefully I will see you tomorrow on the broadcast, 5 p.m. Chicago time. Take care.